Well, hello, and welcome to the first of these podcasts from the Teller. My name is Mark, and I'm going to try for one of these about every 2 weeks, I think. As far as the podcasts are concerned, they're going to be a mixture of storytelling, some of my own work, some that I've collected from the years gone by. I work sometimes as a storyteller and a writer. And occasionally I'll dip into my work, and occasionally into other people's. I'll also occasionally bring in people to talk to about books and their own work. So it won't always just be me telling stories. But the first one, this opening podcast, done just after Christmas 2015, is a story that I've loved telling over the years. I don't think it's ever been written down. It's one that I've done in schools and occasionally for friends. And it's a good way of me introducing myself and saying hello. It's called, well, I'm not sure actually about a title. It could be called The Finger, or it could be called The Ring, or The Old Lady, but maybe a title doesn't really matter that much. It concerns an old man. Although at the beginning of the story, to tell you the truth, he's a man in his sort of, early 20s. It's set at the beginning of the 1980s, and he's a brush salesman. He's going door to door selling toothbrushes, hairbrushes. Oh, you know, the brushes for taking bits of fluff out of your belly button. Basically, brushes for all and every occasion, but he doesn't make a lot of money. Because you don't make a lot selling brushes, do you? And we meet him at the beginning of our story. And as he's travelling around, he's going up into Scotland. He's got a small car, and it's the days before sat-navs, so he's trying to navigate by using a little map just on the side of the passenger seat. He travels alone. As he's travelling, the weather takes a really bad turn for the worse, and it's night time. The month is December, and the rain is absolutely hammering down, mixed with sleet. And somewhere he makes a mistake, because he turns left where he probably should have gone right. This is not good, because for 20 minutes he doesn't see. He didn't see anything. He doesn't see a house. He doesn't see a shop, signpost, absolutely nothing. And so he gets more and more concerned, and with the rain hammering down, when he sees a small light from a farmhouse high up on a hill, he thinks to himself that the best course of action that he can possibly take is to pull in on the side of the road. Get out and go and ask if he can stay for the night. And this he does. So he gets out and he makes his way along, up through the wind and the rain, until he gets to this little farmhouse. It's getting a bit late at night, but probably not past nine, and he knocks on the door. And the door is opened after about maybe a couple of minutes by this tiny old lady. And she looks out and she says, "Hello." She said, "Hello, can I help you?" He looks at her and he says, "Yes." He said, "I hope you can." He said, "God, it's a rotten night." And he said, "You live in the middle of nowhere, but," he said, and she goes, "Shh." She said, "It's all right." She said, "It's all right." She said, "Come on in, come on in." "No," she says, "look at you. Why, you're all wet." She says, "What you need is a hot bath, and you'll find my dead husband's dressing gown is hanging up behind the door of the bathroom. So you go and have a hot bath and put it on." And he does. He goes and he has a hot bath and he puts the dressing gown on and he comes out feeling a lot better. And there he finds his clothes are drying in front of the coal fire of the old lady's living room. And she comes out from her kitchen carrying a tray with a hot bowl of soup and a bread roll with just a little bit of butter. Oh, that tastes nice. It tastes good. Very tasty. And she goes, I've gotten you some chicken and chips, if you'd care for it. Which I can do with a little bit of ketchup, but I'm out to brown HP. And he says, oh no, I like a bit of ketchup, that's good. And he has it, and he eats it up, and it's very good. And then the little old lady goes, oh no, she says. Och no, you'll have to forgive me, because she says, you've been in my house, all this time and I've never even offered you a drink. No, she said, I've got some beer in the fridge if you'd care for a can. And he says, I would like that very much indeed, thank you. And you know what? He drinks all 10 cans of beer in that old lady's fridge. So it's just as well he's not driving, isn't it? Oof, and he looks around. And as he looks around, she's very poor. Very poor. She's got no telly. There's a little radio on the shelf. There's a few books. Yesterday's newspaper lying on the floor near the fire. The carpet's a bit threadbare. And the old lady herself, who must have been, at least in her early 90s, has this small shawl around her and a little pair of slippers. There's a black and white photo on the wall of maybe a dead husband and, I think, a child. But on her finger. Now on her finger is this huge ring. And it looks absolutely amazing. The diamond at the top of it glistens. And that man, because he's very poor, and because the opportunity presents itself, and because he's a bit drunk, decides that night he will steal that very ring. So he pretends to go to sleep upon the sofa. And the old lady comes with a blanket and she puts it around him. And she says, here, no, she said, I'll tuck you up. And in the morning when you wake, I'll make you a lovely brew and some toast before you go. And he hears her going off towards the bedroom. And he hears her moving around. And then the sound of her softly sleeping. He gets up and he puts his clothes on and he makes his way into the bedroom. And as he arrives in the bedroom, he sees her hand hanging down beside the bed. He picks up her hand and he puts his fingers around the ring, which he pulls. And he twists, but it will not come off her finger. And then, determined as he is to get it, he goes into the kitchen. And in the kitchen he finds himself the sharpest knife that he possibly can. And he uses that on some chicken and it slices straight through. So he sneaks his way back into that old lady's bedroom and taking the knife, with one slip of that knife, finger, and the ring are off. And he races out of that house. He throws the finger away and he puts the ring in his pocket. He gets into the car and he drives off. Well, it is shocking. But he takes that ring and he sells it at an antique shop because it is an antique ring. And he makes nearly £1,000 for it. And when he gets back to his own hometown in the north of England, he uses that money and he gets himself a little shop to sell his brushes in. And he works hard. In fact, he works so hard that 5 years later, he's running a little mini market. But we don't meet him 5 years later, or 10, or even 20 years later. No, we meet him nearly 30 years later. In 2016, shall we say. He now owns a couple of supermarkets. He's a millionaire. He's driving the beautiful Aston Martin Sports. He's got a hand-tailored Armani suit. He's a man of prosperity and business. He's driving up to Scotland to open a new supermarket. But it's February, and the weather's wicked, and the snow's falling heavily. Some of the worst weather Scotland's seen in years. And even though he's got a sat-nav on, the sat-nav goes offline. It suddenly clicks back and says, when you can, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. He slips that car into reverse. But it just slips. And it slides. And it whacks him in a ditch. Bangs his head. But he gets out. And the temperature is sub-zero. Showing minus 10. He's in the middle of absolutely nowhere. But strangely enough, what does he see? He sees one small house up on a hill. One very small farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. A tiny light on. And he realizes he's right back where he was all those years before. Now, of course, he can't stay out in the cold. If he stays out in this snow and the freezing temperatures, he'll die. He takes out his phone. There's no reception, of course. He's in the middle of nowhere. So, even though he has great reservations, he presses on up that hill again. To that little home, that farmhouse on the hill. What can he do? What can he do other than to take that risk? And he thinks to himself, well, look, at the end of the day, how old was she? That was one old little old lady. She'll be dead by now. There's probably a farmer and his family living there. But his heart is beating when he gets to the door. And as he knocks on the door, he hears somebody moving around. And then it's opened, just one little bit. Oh, and the same little old lady's head looks out. Hello? Hello? She says. Can I help you? Yes, he says, nervously. I'm so sorry. He said, my car is in a ditch. He said, it's a terrible night. It's snowing hard. There's a blizzard. He said, oh my goodness. He said, I had a terrible accident. And she puts her fingers to her lips. Shh, she says. It doesn't matter, she says. Come on in. Come on in. Why, sit yourself down. No, she says, you're all cold. What you need is a hot bath. And you'll be shaken up after your accident. So she says, Go and have yourself a hot bath. Put your clothes outside the door and I'll dry them. And you'll find my dead husband's dressing gown is just hanging up behind the door. So he does. He goes and he has a bath. And he puts the dead husband's dressing gown on. And then he comes and he sits in front of the coal fire, which is burning. And his clothes are drying. And the old lady, she brings him a bowl of hot vegetable soup to warm you up. And it's got a bread roll with it too. Very nice. And then the old lady says, no. She said, I've got you some chicken and some chips. And I've got a bit of ketchup. I'm sure you'll like. And he does. And he eats it up. And it tastes nice. And then the old lady, she stops. And she puts her hand on her forehead and she says, but she said, you'll have to forgive me. Because she says, I'm so old. And you know, I haven't offered you a drink since you've been in my house. That's terribly rude. No, she said, would you like a beer? I've got some in the fridge. And he says, no, thanks. He says, I don't drink nowadays. But he says, a cup of tea would be very welcome. Aye, she said, I'll gan away and I'll make you a lovely brew. So while she's away making the tea, he looks around and there's this weird sense of definite deja vu because the house looks exactly the same. Some books on the shelf, still no telly. The little radio. The black and white photo of maybe her husband and a child. Carpet's still a bit threadbare. And the old lady, when she comes, ancient, with this little shawl around her, pours the tea. But of course, one thing is definitely different. She's missing a finger on her hand. And the man, as he drinks his tea, looks at her and says, ah, little old lady, he says, tonight, why, you've saved my life. And she says, aye. And she picks up the newspaper. Little old lady, said the man, you live in the middle of nowhere. He said, I cannot help but worry about you. And she looks at him over the top of the paper. You know, said the man, anything could happen to you here all by yourself. He said, why? He said, just look at your hand. He said, you're missing a finger. Now he said, what on earth happened there? Do you know what? That little old lady, she said nothing. Nothing at all. She just kind of sits and looks at him. And then she puts the paper down and she says, she said, no. She said, I'm right glad that you've asked me that question. Because she says, the moment that you walked into my house, ach, she says, there's something I've really wanted to say to you. What I've wanted to say is that it was you. And he absolutely leaps back and feels the pain in his head. Ach, and he lies in his car in that ditch. With the wheels spinning and his head spinning, and he realizes that there's no house and there's no little old lady. but as he blinks again, he looks in fear at the blood trickling down his steering wheel. And there, lying on the floor of the car, is his finger. The end. And there we are. Today's first podcast. In the bag, as I think they say. I do rather like that story, I have to admit. It's at its best when you've only got one person in front of you and you're telling it quite late at night, and then the idea is you drop your voice when you're doing the little old lady. And then you go, you, very, very loudly, and the person absolutely jumps. So that's always good fun. It's quite good fun sometimes when you're doing it in a classroom as well. And you choose somebody to try to shock. Well, hopefully you'll check me out again. This podcast is by The Teller. As I say, my name's Mark. If you want to check me out, I do write books on Amazon and stuff, for Amazon and in bookshops. If you looked up one of my history books, for example, Harold Harefoot, which is a biography on King Harold Harefoot of Saxon fame, then you'd find me. There's also a collection of short stories that I did called The Tale of the Most Excellent Halima, which is like an Arabian Nightsy type story, among other things that I do. And you'll find this podcast will have some guests in a week or two's time where we'll start talking books. And it's been an absolute pleasure if you've joined me today. If you'd be kind enough to put me a review up on iTunes, then that would be utterly wonderful, because it helps promote me up the podcast side of things. And I look forward to your company again. It depends when you're listening to this, but at this time, which is Boxing Day when I'm doing this, a wonderful 2016 to absolutely all of you, and I'll speak again in the new year. Bye-bye now.